looking at on paper the Cubs, though the Cubs didn't perform this year.
No, yeah.
The Brewers and obviously the Dodgers, and it's, I think they're just clearly a step ahead.
Well, I'd also like to point out there's breaking news now just of an hour ago that J.D. Martinez might actually not be playing tonight. So the Red Sox would be down not only a designated hitter, the plan was for him to get into the outfield tonight and play out there. So that would be some firepower they're losing right there in the middle of the lineup.
Well, I don't think, although J.D. Martinez is an outstanding player and he's been doing amazing things for this, I don't think that's enough. I mean, it's going to be a loss for sure, but I don't think it's going to be enough for the Red Sox to throw this game. I mean, right now they're 12-2 in the postseason. If they win two more games and they sweep this out, they'll be compared with the greatest team of all time, one of the greatest teams of all time, with the 1998 Yankees, who went 14-2 in the postseason. So I don't think that J.D. Martinez will be that much of a factor if they keep riding this momentum, although he's an outstanding offensive player. I mean, that does break the hearts of many Red Sox fans. But.
Who do you think has the edge in tonight's pitching matchup between Rick Porcello and Walker Buehler? Walker Buehler being the young pitcher who has come in his first season and delivered the strike for them to beat the Brewers in Game 7 versus the Brewers in this last series. And Rick Porcello having making that comeback from being on the Tigers for a while and kind of just falling out of contention and being 17-7 this year. But he does have a 4.28 ERA, but he's gotten in for some relief, and this is the first World Series start of both of their careers, with one of them being a rookie and one of them being a pretty big vet.
I think when you look at the MLB, lots of times with teams that succeed, it comes down to having that playoff experience. For example, you look at the Braves. The Braves are an uber-talented young team full of energy. And in 2 or 3 years, that team is going to be extremely dangerous, mm-hmm. especially if they start spending their money right in free agency and getting the pieces that can complement Ronald Acuna, Ozzie Albies, Freddie Freeman, all the assets they have there. But experience in the World Series has proven to be the most successful asset. If you look at teams such as the Cubs, when they won, the Cubs had lots of pieces like Ben Zobrist, John Lester, players who had that playoff experience. David Ross, shout out to David Ross, my boy. But they also had that good group of young players who were full of energy. It's a good mix, but experience tends to push out. And I think the Red Sox, particularly in this matchup when we're talking Rick Porcello, Porcello may not have World Series experience, but Porcello has pitched in the playoffs before.
And he has experience, period.
Yes, he's just proven to pitch in more pressure and come out better than Walker Buehler, who is going to be probably a more talented pitcher when it's all said and done by the end of their two careers comparatively. But I would pick Porcello.
That's a pretty hard playoff start. Starting right in on the World Series there.
0-2, going, that's so much pressure on a young guy.
Yeah, well, who knows? Maybe this is his make-it moment to become a superstar pitcher. Seems like he's got pretty good stuff, but he does only have an 8-5 record, so he obviously had less starts this season with Porcello with the 17-7 record.
Sure.
So.
He is a young guy, and the Dodgers do have a lot of depth in their starting rotation that they utilized all year to rest young guys like Walker. But compound with that, they used a lot of them with the Kershaw injury, which was one of the reasons they probably, or one of the main reasons behind their struggles to begin the year. But we're going to transition to another topic shortly after this. I just want to ask, with two games down, World Series predictions, who do you think's happening?
I think it's going to be the Red Sox, even if the Dodgers can come back two games. Yeah, it's just too much to overcome, I think. I think they do have the capabilities to, but right now I'd give 90% chance Red Sox win.
I have to agree with Jacob on this one. Red Sox have clearly shown that they have the talent and the winning capabilities. They have the experience in playoffs. They have the World Series experience. And winning them as well. So I'm going Red Sox take the World Series 4-1. The Dodgers will win a home game in this two-game stretch they have.
Well, let's move this. You want to move to some breaking news out of the NFL?
You have some breaking news from the NFL?
I do.
Go ahead and introduce it.
The Giants are shopping Odell Beckham.
What?
Yes, Odell is very unhappy with the situation, as you have heard, with Eli Manning.
I wonder why.
Yes, that's a good question. I've never seen him throw the ball 20 yards down the field, so who knows? Rumors has it, everyone in the league should be looking at him, but obviously with some of the teams having amazing wide receivers, like the Vikings, the Patriots, Ravens, and Titans are all involved. With that would just be terrible if the Patriots were able to get him low price. I believe Josh Gordon and Odell Beckham combination would not be fun, not to mention Hogan and Edelman over there.
Don't forget about the short white guys. Bill Belichick does love short white receivers. Personally, I don't think Odell's getting traded this year. He did just re-sign with the Giants this offseason, a pretty big contract. He's under team control for a while, so the pressure is really not on the Giants to trade him, because if he's not happy, well, he's still there, and he's still under contract, and he can try to do a Le'Veon Bell situation, but it's not going to work because he's not playing on a franchise tag or anything like that. So I think trading him is a bad decision. I think the Giants do have a good core in place that they can build around with him, Saquon Barkley, Evan Ingram, Sterling Shepard. I think what they need to do is it's not a rebuild, but more of a retool. I think they need to recognize that after this year, it should definitely be Eli Manning's last year. Hopefully he'll retire so we can have him leave in a more graceful way. But I think you draft a young quarterback.
Would you say draft, or would you say look to trade? Because I would contend right now teams should be looking at Bridgewater. Because I think the situation that he's in, teams should be looking. Because I think a lower round draft pick, if you're confident, you could still have a first round draft pick, a good one this upcoming year, for a low tier team and trade a third or fourth round for Teddy.
That's possible? So I was confused by that Saints trade when they first made it. I thought it was odd that they were trading a third-round pick for a backup quarterback to Drew Brees. Possibly their plan with that would be to sell on Teddy to a quarterback-desperate team for a higher pick. But I don't think I'd trade for Teddy Bridgewater this year or necessarily go pay that money if the Giants end up becoming the first pick of the draft. Right now, it's pretty even between them, the Cardinals, and the Raiders for that first pick. But you're really only fighting one of those teams, the Raiders, possibly, for a potential starting quarterback, as Arizona's got Rosen in place, who they like. I would lean towards draft, but I would only draft, out of all the quarterbacks coming out, Justin Herbert. He's the one that's looked the most convincing, like an NFL quarterback, compared to other players this year, in my opinion. Drew Locke, Ryan Finley, other guys who could come out, obviously excluding Kyler Murray, who's looked very good, but will go play baseball, and obviously Tua.
Do you think that Trevor Lawrence will think about coming out this year from Clemson?
Trevor Lawrence can't come out this year. He's only a true freshman, so he's got to go at least another year.
Oh, correct.
So he'll probably come out in a class that will be possibly, it'll have Tua in it, and we'll have some other really good quarterbacks, which will probably end up being a deeper class, but I think Herbert is a good prospect for the Giants to look at.
Okay, yep, true. So you would go draft over Bridgewater.
Little long-winded, but I would draft Herbert over Bridgewater, but I would take Bridgewater over any of the other quarterbacks.
I think Haskins from Ohio State might be a good investment too. It seems like he's one of the top-tier Heisman candidates. I know he got floored because of the lost that they had to Purdue. His credibility went down with that. But I think Haskins has looked great. He was in the Heisman rankings all up until now, and he's been putting up crazy numbers. Now, he does have a good core around him, but, I mean, if he's a Heisman candidate, it seems like usually those are proven. Seems like Jameis Winston's still pretty good. He came back. I mean, I really wanted Fitzmagic to stay, but the magic goes away at some point, so Winston panned out, so I think mostly we've got Heisman candidates and they have worked out. The Heisman tells you something about a quarterback, it looks like.
Yeah, tell that to Johnny Manziel.
That's true. I'd argue, and we'll go and check this, but I don't know for sure if the Heisman tells you something about a quarterback, because off the top of my head, players who have won the Heisman that have been drafted that may not have performed, Jameis Winston, that's up for debate, Sam Bradford, Robert Griffin, Tim Tebow, obviously Johnny Manziel, Troy Smith, Eric Crouch, Carson Palmer. Okay, Carson Palmer was good,
Well, look, for Heisman winners, if we just go back from the couple of years, we can't judge, like, the last four, obviously. Baker, we don't know. Lamar, we don't know.
I'd say
Derrick Henry, I would contend that he's pretty good. Marcus Mariota, I would contend that he's also was a sure pick, but I don't think their offensive line contends that well over there. Winston and Manziel, I'd say you're probably right, but I'd say Cam Newton was someone to contend with. I'd say Sam Bradford. I mean, you could argue he was a good pick.
Yes.
I mean, like, what kind of injuries has he had? Hasn't he had, like, knee issues his whole career?
Yeah.
Bradford's always been injured. I think Bradford's just a chronic injury guy.
Yeah. But you're
the
right.
Quarterback you get if you... I mean, he's just... He fits in well in Arizona because Arizona's kind of like an old man retirement home. And, you know, he's an old injured man at
this
point.
Do you just take a shot at my guy, Larry Fitz?
No.
Larry Fitzgerald, I love you. Please don't take offense to this. But to flip over to Jackson. Sure. Haven't heard much from you in a while. How you doing over there?
Just fine.
You falling asleep?
No, I've been listening to the conversation quite astutely.
Any NFL news you want to talk about? Per se, any articles?
My gosh. Okay, so breaking news. Will Fuller of the Houston Texans.
I'm sorry, Will Fuller the fifth?
The fifth.
Yeah.
Indeed.
He's disrespectful to his family.
I'm so sorry. I love you, Will Fuller.
The fifth.
The fifth.
My boy received what the Texans believe a torn ACL injury.
And I can confirm it is a torn ACL, so it's gone.
Our sources tell us.
Oh my gosh.
Jackson, good piece of information. Poor Texans, rip everyone's fantasy team that had Will Fuller.
And both of mine.
I would say go pick up Christian Kirk or anybody else. I mean, maybe next time we'll talk about fantasy more. But yeah, there is fantasy wide receivers out there, I will tell you now. Good time of the season. Let's go through some deals that have happened so far in the NFL. Maybe talk about some perspective. The Giants are cleaning house. They traded Damon Harrison to the Lions. Longtime guy. Love the nickname, Snacks. He's just eating out there. Carlos Hyde to the Jaguars. I'd like to get... What do you guys think about Carlos Hyde to the Jaguars?
I like Carlos Hyde as a talent. I think that Cleveland misused him in a sense. I think Hugh Jackson, by the way, is a subpar coach, but that's an argument for another day. I think in Jacksonville, which is a run-first offense and is a team built more for that with a playbook that will cater more to his advantages, he's similar to Fournette in ways. I think it's a good fit, and I think he'll finish out this year well and work well with Fournette if Fournette comes back this year.
Do you think that if they ride him for the next couple games, they could package him maybe for a quarterback? Maybe a retrade if they wait for the next three games and they could wait a month? But I also think from the Browns side, Nick Chubb has looked really good in his absence. I mean, he gets 16 carries, go for 80 yards and a touchdown. That's pretty darn good.
As Nick Chubb, he had that chance with Carlos Hyde struggling a little bit there. I think it has helped Nick Chubb a little bit having the above-average pass receiver in Duke Johnson
the fifth. Yep.
Sorry.
Johnson the third.
I think it's helped out kind of like a Minnesota type situation. We had Latavius Murray and Jerick McKinnon when Dalvin Cook went down. I think that Nick Chubb is the Latavius Murray in the situation, getting those goal line carries, getting those early down attempts. And I think that Nick Chubb is going to do well. I mean, as long as Duke Johnson stays healthy and Nick Chubb keeps doing what he's doing, Nick Chubb's a solid running back too. I mean, in any form of the sense that we're doing, especially since they traded Carlos Hyde.
So if I can ask, who do you think would win that trade? Because I think the Browns' reasoning is they were going to cut him. because they have so much faith in Chubb, they save about $4 to $5 million next offseason by cutting Hyde.
It is smart. I think, but right now, like Logan said, it's going to be a really good fit for Carlos Hyde in Jacksonville, I believe. So I think right now, I think that Jacksonville potentially has the better trade value right now.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. They really just got like a fifth-round pick. And
right.
$4 million.
It's an interesting trade from the sense where there's really, as of now, we can't determine a loser, but on paper there really isn't because each team fills a need. The Browns get a draft pick where they can get another young guy in to compete on that team.
Yes.
And the Jacksonville Jaguars get a running back to step in and help them compete well for Fournette's out. They're obviously fighting to stay in the playoff race in that AFC South where it's kind of anybody's division. It's still
and they also don't have a quarterback. Or I should say they do have a quarterback, but I think he forgot which team he plays on when he gets out on the field. Yeah, but let's move on. Raiders, Amari Cooper to the Cowboys. First round pick, and it was big news. The Raiders, I feel like that's a big win for the Raiders.
Oh,
get a first round pick. I don't think the Cowboys are going to be as good as Jerry Jones may think they're going to be this year. Plus, I don't think their offensive line is as good as it, like, has been. I think it's a little overrated this year, and Dak Prescott's running for his life. And there's discussions whether Dak Prescott's actually as good as people thought he was. I don't really know if Cooper changes that much.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. I mean, the Raiders got a huge win here, I believe. Amari Cooper, in the past few seasons, has been dynamic. He has propelled that Raiders offense to be new heights with Derek Carr, Amari Cooper, and when Michael Crabtree was there. Outstanding offense. However, Amari Cooper has had a terrible regression this year. He's had very up and down games. He has, at least for now, I think he has like two breakout games. He had like a 155-yard game, and most recently he had a pretty decent game. But however, when I'm looking at giving up a first-round pick for right now a mediocre wide receiver is absolutely insane to me. Honestly, before the season started, the Cowboys could have gotten Earl Thomas with a first-round pick.
Yeah.
They could have gotten Earl freaking Thomas, a player who's still in his prime, who has not been mediocre in the least.
Poor Earl Thomas, though.
Fair.
With the injury.
Absolutely tragic. But neither here nor there. Amari Cooper is not worth a first-round pick. The Raiders got an absolute steal from this. The Dallas Cowboys aren't going to do shit with Amari Cooper at this point.
10 push-ups. It kind of makes up for that Khalil Mack trade. Now, I'm not saying it completely makes up for it, but the Raiders have 4 first-round picks now in the upcoming draft.
3.
3?
3.
3 first-round picks in the upcoming
draft. 3 first-round picks. Thank you, Logan. And they have, the Bears, which isn't going to be that great of a pick, I don't think. The Cowboys and their own, which both of them will be good first-round picks. Any first-round pick, you're right.
And who's saying that they're not going to trade 2 of those picks for an upper, even higher pick? Like, the Raiders have so much flexibility now with the draft. And quite frankly, they're poised to have such a dynamic young team, like the Vikings do right now, with, like, their defense and such.
I'm Homer.
Yeah, they a little bit. They also got a third-round pick in that deal, too. That's the year after. So I would say that it's a bad situation in Raiderville right now, and I don't know if that's the correct name for it, or I may get killed if I ever go there at this point, but they're leaving Oakland. So, at least I think that's the plan right now.
That's the plan.
So, people are angry at Gruden, but I'm going to be honest with you. I think those were good trades. He's trying not to pay anyone a bunch of money right now and trying not to get down, and then he's going to draft a bunch of guys, get them on 5-year contracts, but they're getting paid not very much. And he's hoping for good rookies.
I mean, they're going for Las Vegas. That's an attractive town.
Yeah.
Oakland, it's not very sexy.
Oh, you would know? Is it attractive?
Yes.
All right, let's move on. The Saints recently got Eli Apple. I don't know if that's really big news. We can move on from that.
Former locker room cancer Eli Apple.
Former locker room cancer, you're right. There was a rumor for a while that Patrick Peterson was on the trade block, but I think that recently got shut down. I think a rumor had it he met with the president, and the president told him they'd be making trades to get better. Just this season, and next season they'll make a bunch of trades to get better.
I appreciate players like Patrick Peterson,
absolutely,
who came out and said, I am frustrated with the way this season mm-hmm. has gone. And by God, I'm sure everybody in the Arizona Cardinals organization is frustrated with how the season has gone. But he reassured fans that he is committed to this team, that he wants to stay and watch them be great again. And that's something I really like.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Patrick Peterson, nothing but respect for the guy. Making the Arizona Cardinals special teams and defense. He's a lockdown corner. And Patrick Peterson is not like a Jimmy Butler. I mean, Jimmy Butler could have done a lot better with the situation. But, like, Patrick Peterson, he sees disconnect with his team, but he still plays as hard as he can. He still wants to win. He's going to bring his 100% the field every single day. So, Patrick Peterson, nothing but respect for the guy. Him and Josh Rosen. Let's go, baby.
Do you think Le'Veon Bell comes back soon, or you think that situation is carrying out longer?
Honestly, I don't think that the Steelers want him to come back.
But do you... I feel like he's holding out till after the trade deadline for some reason. I feel like he thinks if he comes back and signs the franchise tender, they're gonna trade him. Because I feel like if I was in that situation and as general manager, I think James Conner is a Pro Bowl running back.
Did you know that James Conner had cancer? Because that's all I hear about whenever I watch Steelers games.
That's very true, but I mean, props to him for fighting back from that. You're playing the high in the biggest football league in the world, the most competitive. And from going to cancer at Pittsburgh to being at the lowest low and making it to the highest high, there's big props to him. But yes, I mean, they do talk about that a lot. I also think that the Giants will unload more, but I think another team is the Broncos that may be unloading. And I know that hits close to home, Logan, but Demaryius Thomas. Would you like to speak on Demaryius Thomas? Because rumor has it he's being shopped right now, and I don't think that would be a bad deal for them to make. Emmanuel Sanders seems like a more productive wide receiver at this point in the season. Would you be okay if they got a first-round pick for Demaryius Thomas?
It's hard. I'm a huge fan of Courtland Sutton. I will be the first to say that he might possibly be better than Demaryius Thomas is. Demaryius has struggled with some drop issues. But at the end of the day, it comes down to, do I still think this team, with the core we have, can become competitive? And that's not just this year, but that's for the next couple years. And honestly, I think we can. So, and that might be a little bit of my Homer Broncos bias kicking in. But I think with the way we're constructed, and his contract isn't too much longer with us, I believe.
No.
Off the top of my head, it's the rest of this season and then next season.
Yep.
I don't think we should trade him. I think we should hold on to him. We do have a very dynamic offense full of playmakers. It's just that we're held back by quarterback play. I want us to get Herbert. I don't think we're going to get Herbert, but I would rather us keep Demaryius Thomas than trade him for picks.
So let me make this clear. You wouldn't trade him for a first-round pick this year.
I would not trade him for a first-round pick.
You think he's going to help you win this year?
He's been outperforming Amari Cooper.
Well, yes, but they have Sanders.
Listen,
Sanders is going to be good for a couple years.
There's nothing I love more than a nice 8-8 season and the 16th pick in the draft.
Well, I mean, okay. That's if that's what you say. Rumors the Dolphins were interested. I mean, what do you got there? You got Albert Wilson just got put in the IR.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Stills, who looked good for a while, is no longer healthy.
Concussion.
Yep. And
Devontae Parker has been disappointing since he got there.
To say the least. And his agent is incredibly annoying.
Did
for
you
the
see
head coach.
His catch, though?
Oh, I did see incredible catch.
Speaking
absolutely
of catches,
incredible
did you
catch.
See DeAndre Hopkins' catch last
Holy
night on Thursday Night Football?
Motherfucker. And it didn't count. I'm still mad. I hate how the NFL
As DeAndre Hopkins said straight from his mouth in his press conference after the game, someone needs to apologize to him. Somebody from the NFL needs to call him and apologize. Because that was not pass interference.
Oh my God.
That was an insanely filthy grab, and may I point out, he's on my fantasy team. So I'd just like to let you know, I picked him, and yes, that's why he's good.
He is on my fantasy team as well, and if I wanted a call from anybody at the NFL, I would want it to come from Ginger Hammer Roger Goodell.
What do you think, Logan, can I just put the Denver Broncos more here?
Yeah, sure.
So, Chris Harris. You think they'll trade Chris Harris?
No.
Oh. Would you trade Chris Harris?
No.
Well, okay.
Excuse me. Hell no.
Whoa, 10 questions. What do you think about, anybody think about LeSean McCoy being traded?
I don't think you can trade it. Well, what's going on legally?
You
I
might
don't
get like a 2 round pick for him.
Okay.
This isn't 19. So I don't have that anymore.
I mean, yes. You're correct on that. We did talk a little bit about the Giants and Eli Manning. I feel like they should make a trade personally, but I think they're going to hold on to him because they're like, oh, he won us a Super Bowl. Yay.
It's Eli Manning.
Yeah.
I'm going to drop him. Hold on. Sorry. This is the last Denver question. How do you think Case Keenum has been performing with the contract you've given him and the hype that he brought to the team?
Woo! He led us to the NFC Championship, baby. Woo!
He has not led us to the NFC Championship, and it is impossible for him to.
He's going to build a football temple for the Broncos. Super Bowls for the next 5 years.
Okay, John Elway. All right, continue. Okay.
So, personally, Case Keenum has disappointed me.
Okay.
I think he's disappointed a lot of people. I didn't expect him to come in and be the next Elway or Peyton Manning, but I did anticipate that our offense would be slightly less clunky, and we looked much better against Arizona, but
absolutely.
Taking that with a grain of salt because it's Arizona. He's just, the turnover issues are going to be the death of us because our offense has looked somewhat more fluid this year. Like, it looks like it's been running well, but we get shot in the foot with these turnovers, and he's not the only problem, obviously, but he's been a huge catalyst of that, especially with his interception issues. I believe he still has more interceptions thrown than touchdowns this year. And it's just what I said when it happened. Case Keenum's a fine quarterback. He spent 27 years at Houston, and I'm very happy that he's finally out of college, but he's just not going to win you Super Bowls. And it's hard to justify that contract for complacency.
I think you're right about that. I would just argue that Case Keenum is a serviceable bridge quarterback, and I don't think the Broncos want to mortgage their future because their future is their brightest spot right now.
But who's the bridge?
It's
we
Case
obviously
Keenum.
Cut Swag Kelly, and I don't want to talk about that. And Kevin Hogan isn't an NFL quarterback, so you're making
know that.
Because it's Kevin Hogan. But
enough said.
No offense, Kevin Hogan. Again, I love you. Go Broncos.
Please listen to our podcast. Fun fact, Kevin Hogan may listen to our podcast. So you should too.
So I don't know really how much time we have left. It should be running pretty short. But I figured we end on something kind of fun. So I'm going to pit you two against each other. Jackson versus Jacob. I pointed the wrong way at both of them here, but it's the big showdown, and here's what we're going to do.
All right.
Well, obviously, we're not going to predict every game because Miami and Houston happened last night, but what I think is, why don't we have a little competition here? I'm going to give you guys each matchup. You're going to briefly explain to me why you're picking each team, and I'm going to keep track, and we're going to see who scores more.
I love it.
The loser might have some kind of punishment. So we'll do everything from the Sunday matchups and then obviously Monday night football. I will make sure I get
this
somebody.
Is our segment called Weekly NFL Madness, and this week will be Jackson versus me. And
sponsored by Flex Seed.
Our punishment this week is the person will have to say on air on our next podcast a whole paragraph the other person has written out for them to speak.
Oh. Okay.
Logan, go ahead.
All right. I'm very happy I'm not in it this time.
Oh,
I'm going to ask you guys to write down your picks.
Write down? All right.
Or type them down, whatever you're using.
You should type them down. I think you're the impartial party, right?
I'm pretty partial.
Oh. Uh-oh.
All right. I'll just get my paper out.
And also because my computer isn't letting me dual screen the matchups and notes. So we're going to start here with Philadelphia versus Jacksonville. That game is in London. And I don't know how much I can really say about it, so I'm just going to quickly turn it over to you guys. We'll start with Jackson, Philadelphia or Jacksonville.
And at this point, neither of those teams have been performing the way that they should have been. However, I'm thinking that due to Jacksonville's quarterback disputes and the defense crumbling before our very eyes, I believe that Philadelphia will be pulling this win off by a slim margin. Are we doing points, or are we just doing...
We'll just do
picks this week?
We'll just do picks, right. And then we'll flip a coin for tiebreaker.
Sounds good.
Something fair to both parties.
Okay, let me tell you. The Eagles are back, and the Eagles are ready.
Okay.
I don't understand what Jackson's saying about them underperforming.
Okay.
Carson Wentz is back, and he's been back for the last 3 weeks. Let's talk about this. Carson Wentz,
no,
Blake Bortles. Carson Wentz, Blake Bortles. Carson Wentz. Jackson, I will agree. Carson Wentz.
So it's
North
like
Dakota's hometown boy will bring it home. Eagles all the way. Fly, Eagles.
It sounds like neither of you two are going to be rolling with London Blake Bortles.
Nope.
All right. Next matchup here, it's the New York Jets in Chicago to face the Bears. We'll start with Jacob this time.
Oh, this is incredibly easy. Sam Darnold threw to the wrong team multiple times last week. One was tipped, so I will give him that. Mitchell Trubisky has had his great moments and didn't shine for some times at the start of the season, and also capitalized on games versus bad teams. So there's really not huge proven talent. I'd say Trubisky has the edge due to some games where he exploded. I would also say that the Bears have better running backs and just a better offense overall, but I would also argue that the Jets have a better defense. So I'm going to roll here.
Anyway, I'll let you continue.
Let me continue, guys. Jackson.
Oh, boy. This man's.
Dem Bears, boys.
It's the Bears.
Yeah, get that right, boy.
Walter Payton is rolling in his grave. Jackson.
Yeah, all right. Well.
The Bears.
I have to agree with Jacob once again. The Bears, on paper and on the field, have the better team. Sam Darnold, I have been not a fan of him since he came into the league. I think he's very overrated.
Ooh.
And I think that the Jets...
Overrated.
Overrated. You heard me right.
What pick was he? What pick was he again?
Exactly. Overpicked. Overrated. Anyway, the Bears have a better defense. The Bears have a better offense. They're rolling. Khalil Mack has definitely made an impact on them. Both on the field and in their hearts. And I think that the Chicago Bears are just going to roll with this, even though I want them to lose. Because the Vikings are in the NFC North. The Bears are going to take this win.
All right. So both of our participants have agreed with each other so far, and I don't know how much that's changing on our third matchup, which is Tampa Bay at Cincinnati. Are you picking the Bengals or the Buccaneers?
I am 100%. Gonna fly the flag on the pirate ship and take Jameis Winston and our wonderful Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson. Who needs defense? In this game, Bengals and Buccaneers will throw the football for the fences, and you know, someone may catch it every once in a while. So I think we're going over like 40 to 30 something. Let's go, Buccaneers.
Okay, well, this is where we disagree for the first time. And
thank God.
I have to disagree. I'm saying Andy Dalton is back, baby. 15 touchdowns looks pretty attractive.
Back from what? I never saw him there.
Looks pretty attractive. 1,800 yards, AJ Green.
You really like gingers, huh, Jackson? You're a big ginger fan,
Let's
huh?
go, baby. Let's go. I'm going Bengals. 4-3 record, rolling with the Buccaneers with underperforming Jameis Winston right now.
I just like to point out that Jackson thinks Andy Dalton is attractive.
You know, some people like red. I happen to think it goes nice with his orange uniform.
Very, yes, exactly. But Bengals, all the way. There's no way.
All right. Detroit hosts Seattle this week as well. Are you going with Matt Patricia or Pete Carroll's team?
Well, this is a very depressing matchup, I would say. Both teams have underperformed a lot. Detroit.
Who hasn't underperformed for you?
Excuse me? That's true. I mean, there were a lot of expectations for teams coming in. A lot of teams were supposed to be good.
Especially for Seattle.
I mean, honestly, the Browns have overperformed. Let's be honest.
I'll take that.
Thank you, Jackson. I forgot which team. Wow. Oh, okay.
It's the Lions and the Seahawks.
May I just say they have both underperformed.
Oh my
Seahawks.
Gosh, Vic, you're
fame. I will go with the Seahawks. Easily the Seahawks. Russell scrambles. They can't catch him. Making plays. Tyler Lockett, Doug Baldwin's back. Game over.
Awesome. All right, well, this is another point where we disagree. I'm thinking Lions are going to take this. When you're looking at the stat sheets, Russell Wilson has been sacked the most in this league. And the Lions have a solid defensive line.
I'll sack you.
It's literally going to be Russell Wilson. He's going to be running. He's going to be running for his gosh dang life. And Golden Tate and Matthew Stafford have it going, baby. They're going to keep passing, and there's nothing they can do. Because
wait, just one question. Just one question.
Earl Thomas. Yes.
Before we move on.
Yes.
Isn't Russell Wilson best when he's running for his life? Isn't that what he's done his whole entire... I believe that's what he's done his whole entire career in Seattle, is run.
I would like to point out that the Seahawks' offensive line is very much improved this year. What? But I will step aside. It's your picks. I have no say. Your next matchup here, Kansas City hosts Denver. Don't choose wrong.
I am going to roll with Mahomes in this game. Sorry to the Broncos. They should trade Thomas. They should blow up the whole operation is what I believe. Honestly, I'm sorry, Logan. That was a deep wound in your heart.
I don't forgive you.
Okay.
Anyway, Jackson.
I'm a little bit more sympathetic on the Broncos' side. I feel like they could have been a lot better this year so far, but there's tons of potential. Don't blow up your whole organization, please.
I won't.
But I've been extremely impressed with Patrick Mahomes and how he's been leading this offense. And this defense has been performing behind him very well, as the Chiefs have gone 5-1. I mean, 6-1, I'm sorry, and only losing to the Patriots. So, I'm sorry, Broncos fans. The Chiefs beat you the first time that they faced you, and they're going to beat you again.
Alright, we're going to speed this up real fast. A couple of rapid-fire ones right off the board. New York hosts Washington. It's the Giants and the Redskins.
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 Both pick Redskins. Another rematch. Cleveland plays Pittsburgh again. We all know what happened in that first game. It was Cleveland's first non-loss since a cold Christmas Eve in San Diego. So, who are we picking here?
I would just like to point out in the last matchup, AP is going to go off. If he's on your fantasy team, play him.
Oh,
and I'd also like to point out in this game that I would roll with the better team. And I'd like Jackson to answer now.
Who's the better team? I'd like you to answer real fast.
Completely vague.
Jackson, go ahead and answer.
I'm going Browns.
I'm going to let you know here. Roethlisberger will be running from his life.
From his life?
Literally from his life. He will want to leave the NFL immediately with Myles Garrett and Ojinabi boring down upon him, but Juju will be there for the save, and Juju's just an absolute hype beast. So, Steelers will win. Baker Mayfield will get me 29-plus fantasy points, but the Steelers will win.
Gosh, you're such...
Hey, Jacob, do you like to play fantasy football?
Nope.
All right. Carolina hosts Baltimore.
Easy money here. Lamar Jackson should be starting. That's all I'm going to put out there.
Please answer the question.
I'm not going with Baltimore.
What?
So he's picking Carolina.
All right.
I'm picking Carolina.
We
dem cats.
I want to pick Carolina, but I'm going with Baltimore because I want to disagree with Jacob, and Baltimore has the best defense in the league so far. As they've just been shutting down opponents, I'm going with Ravens.
Wow, sensational logical reasoning.
All right.
Defense wins games, bro. Defense wins games.
Carolina has a better defense.
Next matchup, you get the Glue Factory versus Raider Nation. It's the Indianapolis Colts and the Oakland Raiders.
Woo!
We'll start with Jackson.
Why? Colts, baby. All the way.
And then Jacob.
Okay, let me just point out, I haven't seen Andrew Luck get back yet.
He's back.
You think he's back? Interesting. I think T.Y. is still dealing with that injury, and rumor has it Jack Doyle is questionable for this game with a hip injury, but I'm going to have to go Colts.
Thank you.
So, it's just their offense, I think, is still really well functioning, and this game is just...
And they lost.
Let me just say, just don't watch this game unless you're a fan of either one of these teams. There's no reason, no football entertainment will be provided in this game.
You will not get much football entertainment out of this, but Darius Leonard, linebacker for the Indianapolis Colts, possibly defensive rookie of the year. He's been very good this year.
Amazing.
Green Bay at the Rams is your next matchup. You going with Rodgers or Goff?
It's not going to be Rodgers versus... It's Rodgers versus Goff, but I'm going with the defenses, the battle of the defenses. Packers have none of that, and the Rams have just been electric these past few games with Todd Gurley going on and Jared Goff leading this offense with the defense just pulverizing anyone who comes near them. So I'm going Rams, easy.
And I still have Vietnam flashbacks about Todd Gurley running for over 200 yards on my team a couple of weeks ago. Jacob?
Hank, how many touchdowns does he have? Well, let me just say right now, the Packers right now are in their defensive rankings. They're top 15 in the league right
now. Top 15, that's not...
No, that's a functioning defense.
They're above average.
No, that's not even above average.
It's above average.
I think now that the Rams do have amazing defense, and I think Rodgers is great, but I actually think the upset will be pulled in this game, and the Rams will make their first loss. And yes, Jackson, I'm disagreeing with you, because I've endured many years as a Vikings fan of Aaron Rodgers just making us... When we think we're good, and we're 12-1, and we come into week 14 looking like we're ballers... and that doesn't even make any sense, because I said they're 13-1 and they came into week 14 and I'm dumb. But we come in and we are an amazing team, and Rodgers still takes us out with a team of receivers who no one knows what their names are. They will beat the Rams this week. Rodgers will bring some magic. Go,
they
Pack, go.
Side game. Jackson, name three Packers wide receivers. Go.
Geronimo Allison. Not Jimmy Graham. Devontae Adams. And
Randall Cobb,
St. Brown was the right answer.
Yeah.
another matchup between some teams that have struggled this year here. Arizona hosts San Francisco. Who you got?
Also, do not watch this game. It's Sunday. Watch football. But I would just like to tell you, this game is not going to be your most entertaining over the weekend.
It's going to be.
I would watch the Packers and Rams.
Anyway.
I would go to church.
That is a great point, Logan. Cardinals and 49ers, you're really going to make me pick a team. I am going to roll with the upset. I'm going to roll with the Cardinals for the win. Let's go, Cardinals.
The 49ers are supposed to win.
You can pick a tie if you want. I just like to point that out.
Flybirds.
Bro, Cardinals all the way. My boy Josh Rosen with Larry Fitzgerald. It's going to clip this week. It's going to clip this week.
Do you think, how many times do you think Josh Rosen will see green grass hit him in the face?
How about you shut your mouth and we'll see what happens?
Because I'm letting you know, he will hit the ground a lot. But the Cardinals will win. Fitzgerald will bring it through this week and catch his errant passes.
Oh, all right. Cool it, guys. I'm supposed to call my mom soon. Minnesota and New Orleans. It's Sunday Night Football on NBC.
Guess who's gonna be there? Your own Michael Woodell. Shout out Michael Woodell.
I have a feeling I know how you guys are gonna call this game, so I'm just gonna count off 3, 2, 1.
Minnesota.
We can't do anything right around here. So I believe that was Minnesota and the Saints.
Vikings.
Okay, Vikings. Yeah. So Vikings both ways. We now transition to Monday Night Football. Buffalo and New England. The game is in Buffalo. I don't know if Josh Allen is
gonna be a real
back
tight
for that
game
or not, but does it really matter? Who you got?
Patriots, please.
Okay. You've got the Patriots. Jacob.
I don't think Josh Allen is going to make it back in time from this game. And starting a quarterback you picked up 3 days before for their last game, you can tell they really do not want to start Nathan Peterman. I think their quarterback room right now should just be them watching their interception throws and be like,
that?
We really suck, because there's no chance for improvement.
Who
is the
Patriots?
Derek Anderson started last week.
Oh, God.
Former
shows you how much
Cleveland
Jackson
Browns
knows.
Pro Bowler, Derek Anderson.
So, we really only disagreed on a couple games there. Should we do like a little tiebreaker for the World Series tonight?
We could do that, or I could stick in a little tiebreaker right here. Game of the week.
Ooh.
UAB UTEP. 6:30 Saturday night. El Paso, Texas. No, I'm joking. We can't do the World Series game. So, World Series game.
Oh, no, we
game.
Can do UAB. I mean.
No, that was a joke.
I'm going with UAB. Jackson, who are you going with?
I don't know.
Well, UTEP hasn't won a game all season, so.
It was too easy. All right. Game three is tonight. It's the first game in LA on the swing. 7:09 p.m. Central Time. Red Sox, Dodgers. Who you got? Don't all answer at once.
We won't. Jackson's too scared to answer. He wants me to answer first. I'm going with the Dodgers. Yes, I'm calling it. The Dodgers will have some type of effort and come back tonight. Their clubhouse will be inspired. They will come onto the field ready to fight. Plus, they are ready to go. I believe that their pitcher tonight will prove himself. Buehler is a good pitcher, and I believe just because he doesn't have the statistics to back it up, doesn't mean it's not there. And honestly, I don't think it really matters what stadium it's in this series. I know it was at the Red Sox the first two games. And I know that they were having issues with the fans yelling at the pitchers. And I believe it will help somewhat being back home for the Dodgers. So I think Dodgers win tonight.
That's really good points that you brought up there, Jacob. But you're forgetting the fact that Red Sox are absolutely amazing. I think that the Red Sox
wow, great
will keep riding off that momentum that they've been winning these past. Manny Machado will keep doing his dirty ways. The Red Sox will keep.
I'm sorry, what?
Wrong.
Can I just point out what's are you talking about what? Are you talking,
I'm talking about the spikes. I'm talking about the thrown bats at pitchers.
Oh, are you talking about the Stein, the sign stealing accusations that came out today against him?
No, not that, bro. Shut your mouth. I'm going with the facts.
So he's not dirty because he stole signs from second base and signaled to his people.
I mean, that's what you gotta do.
All right. So I think we both...
Red Sox.
Tiebreaker is Dodgers and Red Sox. All right. I think that's about the... I think it's enough time. Does you guys have anything else? Are we good?
No. Thanks for listening.
All right. To steal a line from the great Tony Kornheiser, we'll try to do better next time. Thank you guys for listening. And we're signing off.
Finish
what?
Okay, let's record another one.
Another already?
Yeah, we need to record two because we're not doing it again tomorrow.
Well, it's not going to be a daily thing, though, is it?
Oh, yeah, dude.
What? You were thinking daily?
I'm thinking we record multiple ones on the weekend and just release them during the week.
What was the line I used at the beginning? There's no good food in the refrigerator.
Yeah. Right. You got to do something else.